Hey, folks, and welcome back to the Dev Influencers Podcast. I'm Charles Max Wood. I just want to remind you, you can go check out the Dev Influencers Accelerator. That's at devinfluencers.com/apply. You can also find this podcast at devinfluencers.com/podcast. And, you know, I've been putting this up on YouTube, and anywhere you get podcasts, you can get it. So I think last time I was talking about my story, and I kind of gave you the intro as far as, like, where I was at when I finally got into podcasting. And one of the things that got me into podcasting was being a podcast listener. And I want to talk about that just a little bit because it really helps if you're a consumer of the medium that you put out there that will actually get you into podcasting. So for me, I got into podcasting, right? I got into listening to podcasts. I was listening. I was excited about it. And that was what really made the difference, right? So I kind of knew what a show looked like, and I knew what I wanted to put together as far as a show went once I figured it out. But I kind of want to just back up a little bit and dive into what happened, how I got into it, right? So I got into podcasts. I was working at Mosey, and I think I talked about that last time too. I was working at Mosey. I had been running the tech support department for a while, and due to some politics, I wound up being kind of pushed into more of a technical role for the tech support team instead of running the team. And that was kind of the final straw for me, right? I was like, look, if I'm going to do this technical role, I want to be a developer, right? I want to write code, because I've been writing code for the systems that we were using there in order to do the support stuff. And some of that was starting to get handed off to the dev team. But in the meantime, yeah, we were just in a position where I was like, if I'm going to be a dev, I want to be a dev, right? And so I went to my boss and I said, hey, boss, I want to be a dev. And he told me no. He told me that he didn't have enough clout to put me on the dev team, right? Because the dev team, basically, they were kind of the kings of the company. And he told me that there was just no way, he didn't have enough pull to have them accept me on the team. So I moved over to QA, and I wound up working with Don. And I mentioned Don and Kay, I think, in the last episode. So Don was commuting down from Ogden. Now, Ogden and Pleasant Grove are about an hour and a half apart. And so he would jump in his car and he would drive down, and he had an apartment down here in Utah County. And so we would work down here during the week, and then he would drive home. And because he had such a long drive, he bought himself an iPod. And he was listening to podcasts on his iPod while he was at work too, right? And so we shared an office. I was kind of facing one corner and he was facing the other corner, right? So our backs were toward each other. And, you know, he was running QA on a bunch of stuff and I was running QA on a bunch of stuff. And anyway, so he's sitting over there and he's kind of laughing at something that he's listening to. And I remember turning around and going, Don, what are you laughing at? You know, what are you listening to? He's like, oh, it's a podcast, right? And kind of brushes it off like it's no big deal. And I'm like, well, it sounds interesting, right? What's it about, right? And I think he was listening to Grammar Girl or, you know, something like that. And I know that was one of the shows he listened to at the time. And he's like, well, you know, so he introduced me to some of the shows, and I was like, oh, well, I wish I could afford an iPod, right? You know, but I was making $40,000 a year. I had two kids, right? Mortgage, you know, it just wasn't feasible for me to go spend $100 or something on a device. And he's like, oh, well, you don't need an iPod, right? And this was before iTunes was really on everything. It really was only on the Mac at that point, I think. It was in 2006. So you can go check the dates. Maybe it was on Windows. But he turned around and he said, you have a Mac sitting on your desk that you can listen to the podcast on. Because outside of dev, I was pretty much the only person in the company that had a Mac. And the reason was because I was QAing the Mac client for Mosey when it was in beta, right? And so I was coordinating with a handful of people that were running it themselves and troubleshooting their issues, right? And then I was QAing it on my own as well, right? Before we launched it. And we had a big launch party for it and stuff when it finally launched. But, you know, so I was working pretty closely with one of the support guys and one of the dev guys. And anyway, so I had this Mac sitting on my desk, and he's like, just iTunes, right? Because you could play it in iTunes, or you could sync it to an iPod in iTunes. And so I started listening to podcasts. And, you know, initially I listened to a couple of the ones that Don was listening to, and I enjoyed those, right? You know, Grammar Girl was pretty interesting, right? I got into some of the other ones. I got into a couple about podcasting. And I started listening to podcasts about Ruby and Ruby on Rails, because that's what I was really interested in. And it was just fascinating to me that there were these shows out there. And so I started listening to Ruby on Rails podcast by Jeffrey Grossenbach. I started listening to Rails Envy with Greg Pollack and Jason Cypher. And as I got into that, I realized this seems like fun, right? This seems like a lot of fun. I'd love to just sit and talk into a microphone and record a podcast, right? And so I sent an email over to Greg Pollack. And I was like, hey, man, podcasting seems cool. You know, I'd like to start a podcast. And he, you know, I thought these podcasters were like, you know, any other celebrity, right? They were just kind of on a different plane than the rest of us, right? I didn't realize that people are people are people, right? You know, now I see celebrities and I'm just like, you know, give me a reason to be impressed, right? you know, because I realize that they're human too. But at the time I thought, okay, you know, this guy's a big dev celebrity and, you know, one of the chosen that gets to make podcasts. And so I reached out to him. I was like, that seems like really cool. And he gets back to me. He's like, you should start one, right? And I'm super new programmer. You know, I wasn't even paid to write code full time. In fact, I tried writing code to automate the testing suite and my boss came down and put the kibosh on it, right? And so I was testing stuff by hand. I wasn't even writing code full time anymore. Or even close to full-time. I was doing that as the support guy, writing the systems that we were using, but I had moved on from that role because of the politics. And so, anyway, he's like, yeah, you should do it. And I was like, well, I don't want to duplicate your show, because what they did is they'd cover the news in the Ruby and Rails community every week, right? And I didn't need to rehash the stories of stuff that was coming out. They were doing a good job of that. So, and I told him that. And so what wound up happening was he goes, well, why don't you just interview people, right? And that really appealed to me because I didn't have to be the expert, right? I didn't have to be this genius code guy. I didn't have to be this ordained podcaster. I didn't have to have any special credentials. I could get them to come on and I could just ask whatever questions I wanted. And that seemed really cool. And so I was like, well, can I interview you? And he was like, well, sure. And so I interviewed him. He was my first interview, right? And then I had gone to a Ruby conference and was really impressed with James Gray, and I interviewed him for my third episode, right? And I think the second episode was, hey, here's what I'm working on, right? Or here's what the show's about. I don't remember. But it was something like that, right? And so if I didn't have a guest, I would just intersperse it with whatever was going on in my learning journey, and people really enjoyed it, right? Because there were other people that were learning Rails at the same time. I was just coming at it from, I am not a professional programmer. And anyway, about that same time was when I got my first full-time dev job. And essentially the way that went down was, and I'm going to kind of throw this together because it's all part of the same journey. And I'm going to make a point about this at the end because there's kind of a parallel here between the two things. So I started applying for QA jobs. And the reason was that Don finally just looked at me and said, how much are you making, right? Did they give you a raise when they moved you over here? And I was like, no. And I finally, you know, I kept telling him, I don't think I'm supposed to tell you that. And he said, well, if it's around this, and he pretty much nailed my salary, he said, you can get paid more. You can get paid $20,000 or $30,000 more a year to do this job. And he's like, you just go get a competing offer, bring it back, and see if they'll match it, right? And by then, EMC had acquired Mosey, right? And so, you know, theoretically, we were on a more stable financial footing as far as being able to give people raises. And so I started applying for QA jobs. And on a lark, I applied for a software development job where they were looking for a Ruby on Rails developer. And it turns out I was one of like a couple of people that applied for it. So they didn't have that many prospects of people coming in and applying for this job. And so they called me up and they said, hey, are you interested? And the other thing that I had going for me at the time, honestly, was that I had this other skill set because I had done operations and server setup for like 5 years at the university part-time. And so I knew my way around a server and around a command prompt and around Linux and around, you know, and so I could help them with that kind of work as well. And so I applied for the job and they called me in for an interview. And when I came in for the interview, the general manager sits me down. His name's Chad. He sits me down and he interviews me and just, you know, just getting to know who I am and, you know, where I'm coming from and what my background is and stuff like that, you know, and he, so then he had me talk to Travis, who was one of the other partners. So Chad, Travis, and I don't remember the other partner's name. But Travis was the guy who was running all the CI or the server stuff. And so he was actually the one who kind of talked me around all the server stuff, server admin stuff. And, of course, I aced that, right? I knew that stuff cold. And so, you know, easily impressed Travis. He's like, okay, you know, so if I need your help, I'll just let you know and you can take on these tasks, right? And then came time for the Rails interview. And I was basically dragged into a conference room and, you know, we dialed in on a speakerphone to talk to another developer named Nate. And Nate wasn't in the office that day because there was like, I still think it was like a birthday party for one of his kids. But, you know, he stepped away for a half hour to do a technical interview with this possible new employee. And so he gets on and he's like, all right, you know, and so we start talking about Rails. You know, and it was pretty apparent that I knew my way around Rails, right? The basics, I could get stuff done. I could definitely build in it, but I didn't have a ton of programming experience. And so then he starts asking me questions. So he's, you know, something like, you know, well, what design patterns do you know? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, well, do you know what a design pattern is? And, you know, I'm like, no, you know, computer science classes, right? They're super helpful on those kinds of interviews, right? You know, all the industry stuff that does get covered in there. So, you know, yeah, there were a whole lot of I don't knows, but the thing is that he would explain the concept to me and then I would give him an example of something that I had either built or implemented or experienced through Ruby or Rails that was an example of what he was telling me. And so by the end of the interview, things went well. And what wound up happening both then in the podcasting and in the programming was that Nate wound up being a mentor, right? And so I'd go work with him every day. And, you know, sometimes we'd go up to downtown Salt Lake and work out of the client's office. And sometimes we'd go work out of his house up in Draper. And sometimes, you know, I would just work from home. And sometimes I'd go work in the office, right? And so it just depended on what was going on. But, you know, he was there walking me through the whole process. And I kind of had the same thing from Greg, right? Where Greg was kind of helping me out with figuring out some of the ins and outs of podcasting. And this is one of the things that I really think is important when you start getting into being a dev influencer, is that you need to find somebody who can help you get going, right? And so if you want to do podcasting, you need somebody who knows podcasting. If you want to get into YouTube and you really want to knock it out of the park, you need somebody who knows YouTube. If you want to get into blogging, you need to find a successful blogger. Now, at the same time that we're talking about this, I'm going to advocate for podcasting. And there are a couple of reasons why. It's not just because that's what I know and that's what I do, right? I'm actually posting these to YouTube. And, you know, I plan on growing an audience there as well. But the thing that I've found with podcasts versus blogs and YouTube is that, especially blogs, right? And I was having a conversation with a guy named Dean on Monday. And with the blogs, the problem is that the only way to get traction on a blog is to have other people promote you, right? So you wind up in a newsletter or you wind up, you know, ranking on Hacker News or, you know, things like that are the ways that you generally get a bunch of traffic. The problem is once they're on your website, how do you keep them coming back? And blogging doesn't give you a good mechanism for that. Now, a lot of blogs have RSS feeds, but people don't typically have an RSS app that's designed for text that they check every day, right? Whereas with a podcast, podcasting also uses an RSS feed, but the difference is that people have an app on their phone that notifies them when there's a new podcast episode up, and they typically work it into their routine. And so that's the thing with podcasts, is that you essentially have this push mechanism to let people know that there's new stuff up, right? And then, you know, again, versus YouTube, the issue is that all of your videos kind of have to rank separately, right? And even if they subscribe to your channel, they're not going to see that there's new content unless they go back to YouTube. And so it suffers from the same problem that the blog has. The other issue is that the blogging space, there are zillions of blogs out there. So the only other way that you're going to get traffic is SEO, and SEO is a huge battle to fight and win, and typically you're up against bigger players. YouTube has the same problem because, again, it's search, and it's their search algorithm. And so if you're not playing the game the right way in order to rank for search, they're not going to find your videos. And then you'll see on the end of any videos that, you know, are part of a series or part of a channel where there are several of them, is that they're asking you to subscribe. And the reason is because it gives them some mechanism, at least, to let you know when something new comes up, right? So sometimes I'll get emails from YouTube, right, that say, hey, the channel you subscribe to published a new video. But after a while, I just kind of push those off to a folder because they're annoying, right? And so with podcasting, I get a notification on my phone, hey, you've got 3 new episodes up. And then whenever I get around to listening to them, I just open up my app and hit play. And so that's where the power of podcasting comes in. The other thing, though, is that people tend to be willing to consume longer content on podcasts than they are in the blog or the YouTube form, right? Most YouTube videos, they tell you to keep it to 10, maybe 15 minutes. And the reason is because people have to sit and watch it, right? Whereas with the podcast, you know, they pop their AirPods in or their earbuds in or whatever they listen on, right? They hook it up to the Bluetooth in their car, and then they drive for however long they're going to drive, right? And they listen to you the whole time. Or they listen while they mow their lawn, or they listen while they're doing the dishes, or they listen while they're, you know, whatever. And so there are a lot of pluses to going with podcasting versus the other media, but still the main winner for podcasts is that somebody subscribes and they get notified on their phone when there's a new thing. And the other thing is they can create playlists out of it so that it'll automatically play your stuff in the middle of the other stuff that they listen to. So at the end of the day, and usually they pick you by show and not by episode. And so they're not going to pick and choose episodes as much. Some people do, right? Some people, they'll go in and they'll subscribe to a bunch of podcasts, and then they'll look through their list of episodes and they'll pick and choose the ones they want to listen to. And after a while, as stuff gets stale, they'll start deleting it, right? But the vast majority of people, they just put it in a playlist and hit play. And so you're going to get that playtime, and you're going to get that to work out for you. And so at the end of the day, what I recommend if you're looking to become an influencer is start with a podcast. Just start talking, okay? And once you have your show out, and I recommend you start with weekly. And then if you decide that your format needs something different, then do something different, right? I'm trying something a little different here with daily. And that's a bit more work, honestly. But at the end of the day, you get that push mechanism out to people's podcast app, and then you become part of their routine. And then as they hear you more and more and more and more, that's how you become that dev hero or that dev influencer that we talk about you becoming. And the fastest way to get there, honestly, is just to find somebody who can mentor you through the process, who can walk you through step by step how to get it done, right? And that way, you're out there and you're putting the content out that they want, the content that you want to produce, so that you can have the effect that you want and you can get it done. I mean, you know, at this point in the journey, as far as I've described it, I mean, I was just doing it for fun, right? I wasn't looking to become famous. I wasn't looking to become, you know, any kind of influencer. I honestly, podcasting sounded like fun, and so I went for it, right? But now I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, well, how can I make a difference with this, right? How do I impact people in a positive way? And that is what I'm about now. And so, you know, if you're out there and you're trying to figure this stuff out, go find somebody who's doing it, make it happen, figure out what kind of a difference you want to make, and then, yeah, go for it. And then I'll talk a little bit more about that next time, because it veered pretty quickly into, okay, here's the kind of difference I can make. But for now, that's the big lesson here, is go find a mentor. You know, it worked for me for programming. It worked for me for podcasting. I've had several other mentors over the years. I will talk about some of them in future episodes. But, I mean, that's the big win. That's the shortcut, is find somebody else who can say, okay, do this, now do that, now do that, now do that. Some of the stuff that I did have to figure out on my own, it was trial and error, and it sucked, right? Because it took me a month to figure out stuff that honestly somebody could have told me how to do in an hour. And, you know, other stuff, people told me how to do it, and it shortcutted a whole bunch of work. And so, yeah, go find a mentor, figure that out. If you want me to be that mentor, go to devinfluencers.com/apply. And I'll just leave it right there. Max out, everybody.